Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for joining us on the JX. Conditions in the workplace have changed over the years. Once upon a time, your boss could have gotten away with any number of horrible behaviors and would face no sanction either from the law or from the workplace itself. Awareness of abuse and harassment and changing of laws reduced that situation somewhat, but it's not like every workplace is a happy one where everyone gets along. Legislation has been proposed for many states called the Workplace Psychological Safety Act. Our guests are among many pushing for the act's passage. Deborah Falzai is the co-author of the bill with the group Dignity Together. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. We also have with us Misty Orlando with the group End Workplace Abuse. Welcome, Misty.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Let's start with you, Deborah. Talk about Dignity Together and what the basic goals of the group are.
Through this group, we're trying to pass legislation to give targets of workplace abuse legal recourse for the mistreatment that they're experiencing. So things like false accusations, exclusion, job sabotage, career sabotage, and these can end up, you know, the targets can end up with a host of issues from anxiety, depression, PTSD, suicidal ideation. So we are trying to strengthen the law. Right now, anti-discrimination law is not enough. Not only does it not protect all workers, but it's not even strong enough to protect those in protected classes who might be suffering from abuse at work but can't necessarily associate that mistreatment with their membership in a protected class. And they might not also be able to prove discriminatory intent that is happening. So our goal is to pass legislation so that we can protect workers from psychological mistreatment and give them safer workplaces.
Where is the greater problem then, Deborah? Employer to employee or worker to worker?
It's both. It's predominantly employer to employee. So what typically happens is that one employee, a boss, will feel threatened by a subordinate. It'll trigger their insecurities and jealousy, and they will create often a false narrative to paint that subordinate as a problem. They will, you know, spread rumors with closed door conversations with coworkers, and then when the target goes to report the problem to HR or a higher up, they are typically ignored or retaliated against. They are led to believe that there is a legitimate complaint process to remedy the problem, but their working environment never changes. They're still working with that perpetrator, and then the bully is emboldened to continue to harass the target without any consequences. The complaint process gets prolonged, and then that target feels, you know, more and more stress. Eventually, they either voluntarily leave or get fired because their performance is affected by that stress. And the threat of liability leaves with that employee. And then they experience trauma upon trauma in the aftermath of realizing that not only did their employer betray them, but now that they've decided between their health and a paycheck, they no longer have, you know, access to the health insurance that they need, or, you know, they're relying on taxpayers to fund, you know, either their unemployment or social support through food stamps or things like that if they have no other safety net. So it's a huge problem. It's actually an epidemic that not a lot of people are talking about.
Deborah Falzai and Misty Orlando, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, as we talk about the Workplace Psychological Safety Act. Misty, your group is called End Workplace Abuse. Do we have any hard numbers or estimates on the prevalence of abuse in the workplace that you're trying to curtail here?
It's pretty widespread. I believe Deborah and I have looked at numbers well over 30% of the workforce, maybe even higher.
And are there any particular industries that seem to be the most prone to this or kinds of workplaces?
It's not just the private sector. We've also seen it in public jobs like retail, fast food.
All right. And now Deborah gave some examples here, but what kinds of situations do you think most urgently need to be addressed by law?
The number one, I think, Misty. I think the number one are the most common issues are really false narratives that get created, and they can really destroy people's reputations and careers. So we've identified through this bill some of the most common behaviors that happen that we can go up against with employers. So those false accusations, exclusion, and sabotage being some of the top three that people could prove that are actually creating a toxic work environment.
And when you say exclusion, we've heard this term a couple times from you now. What do you mean? Excluded from what?
They can be excluded from work meetings, from resources that they need to do their jobs, social events that, you know, everybody else is being included on, but they're not. You know, just many different ways of pushing the person out the door and making them feel like they're not part of, they don't belong. You know, a Stanford professor by the name of Jeffrey Pfeffer says that two of the biggest things that employees need are job control and social support. So not having that social support can be really damaging to our well-being.
It seems like this would be a tricky thing to address through legislation, particularly because you get into situations where it becomes kind of a, you know, they said kind of thing. I mean, so how do you address this and avoid situations where somebody says this is happening and they're gaslighting me and the answer is no, it's not happening at all?
That definitely will happen because gaslighting is so prevalent in the workplace and in these toxic work environments. I mean, employees will need evidence that they are being subjected to a toxic work environment so that, you know, just like any other issue, like sexual harassment or illegal discrimination, they will need to prove that they are in a toxic work environment. And, you know, there's talk in this space of should they need to prove intent or not, and should they need to prove health harm. But we're saying that we don't want to wait until, you know, someone's health gets damaged. They should be able to go in with evidence and show that their work environment has been deemed toxic by a reasonable person, and they should be able to, you know, have a neutral third-party investigator come in and see what's happening, give consequences to the perpetrator and the employer itself, and looking at the totality of the evidence and make a decision about what's going on. Or they can do, you know, a direct lawsuit or use their company's internal investigation process. But typically those investigation processes are rigged, you know, as I described earlier. So we're really trying to give people something that they can go up against, because employment lawyers typically will say to people who've experienced this, there's no law to protect you. And meanwhile, their health just keeps deteriorating. So also we're trying to put into this bill, you know, preventative measures. It's really mostly about prevention. So, you know, whether that's policies and training or a climate survey, regulations around how long the investigation process should take, and then what should happen if during the investigation they do deem that there was a violation of this act. You know, should there be coaching, counseling, discipline, and that could be removing supervisory duties or actual termination.
So some of the areas that we're talking about, I think, would be covered by the Bureau of Labor and Industries in Oregon, but you want to move beyond that. And then when you talk about, you mentioned lawsuits, so, I mean, does it provide for penalties, either criminal or civil?
It provides for both. I mean, for the criminal piece, it would have to be, you know, pretty egregious behavior. But the most of these issues would fall under a civil suit, where in general, the employer really just isn't addressing the fact that there is a toxic work environment being, you know, endorsed, or they're not, they're neglecting their work culture. So they would have the option to do both, and to sue the perpetrator and the employer themselves.
Misty Orlando, I just wonder, though, can this or any legislation instill a sense of dignity and respect in a workplace if the people who set up that workplace don't particularly have much interest in doing so?
Well, that's a concern for us. But everyone in, here in Oregon deserves courtesy, dignity, respect in the workplace. We have seen some of these cases, individuals that end up in long-term psychiatric care or end up on antidepressants and anti-anxiety. You know, Dr. Jennifer Fraser wrote the book, The Bullied Brain, and I want to quote her. And she said, you know, employers will protect the physical health, but why not the mental health, the brain health? And I think that's really, you know, really ingrained into our legislation here. You know, one psychological well-being makes companies better. As Deborah touched on, absenteeism, presenteeism, turnover, and we've explained how this really trickles down to taxpayers when you choose your mental health over your employment.
Do you think that given the need for so many workers these days, that you might find a more receptive ear among employers at the moment because they're trying to make sure that people stay happy enough to stick around?
Absolutely. We've seen this great resignation. And if you have a workplace that is free from psychological harassment, we truly believe that more people would stay. And it's better for the company in the long run.
Deborah Falls, you mentioned trying to draft. Is this written in its final form and introduced in Oregon at this point, or is there still some tweaking going on?
We have drafted the piece of legislation, and it's up to legislators to, you know, tweak the bill as they see fit, and that can differ. You know, it's a national model, so that can differ from state to state, but. It has been drafted, yes.
All right, so it's basically that there's model legislation that then is shopped around to state legislatures around the country. And does that begin with Dignity Together, or is it older than that?
There have been other bills that have been introduced that this bill is building upon. So right now with our current group, we think this is the strongest piece of legislation. Not only does it address the individual aspect, but it also gets to the root issue of this, you know, this system we have that has positive stereotypes for some groups and negative stereotypes for other groups. And we believe there is this huge overlap with discrimination and bullying. So this bill also calls for quarterly reporting of different things like the number of discrimination complaints, psychological abuse complaints, absenteeism rates, termination rates, stress leave rates, things like that that will hopefully workers will have access to when they make decisions about who their future employers will be and what kind of work culture they might be walking into and how much that employer cares about human well-being.
It's almost like a restaurant rating for a business, it sounds like, in advance. Now, who would have to report? Would all workplaces have to report, or would there be some size limits or something?
We're calling for all employers to report this information so that workers can have access to it. I don't know what it might end up as when, you know, legislators work through the legislative process, but right now we're calling for everyone to report that information.
All right, we'll see what emerges from the Oregon legislature, which just began meeting a few weeks ago and has until about the beginning of July to complete its work. Deborah Falzoy is a co-author of the Workplace Psychological Safety Act with Dignity Together. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And Misty Orlando at End Workplace Abuse, thank you so much, too.
Thank you.
You bet. That'll do it for today's exchange. JeffExchange.org is our website. Angela Decker of JPR News is our senior producer. Nash Bennett's our assistant producer. Zach Beagle is at the controls today. Maxwell and Terry Longshore composed our theme music. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next time on the Jefferson Exchange. Stay safe and warm, and have a great day.